I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 15. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death hath came through a man, the resurrection of death comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all the dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
I understand it was new, but it wasn't that difficult. Glad y'all are with us. Lots of visitors today. We're just proud that you're here. But most of the faces are familiar, and we're glad that you're with us. Some we haven't seen for a while. We're proud that you are with us. Harris, I'm going to call you out. I know you hadn't been able to be with us, and we're just proud to have you back with us today. And glad you're feeling better. So just makes our day even better that you're able to be with us. So good to see you. We're going to talk about resurrection today because it is resurrection that makes the lives of Christians the most joyous of all people, because it is resurrection that shows us in another and powerful way the power of God. It is a testament to His power and to His ability to keep promises and to deliver His people. And for that reason, we can rejoice and celebrate even while we live in a world that is fallen, because we understand God's love, God's power, and God's promise. Now, Easter actually is not mentioned in the Scripture as a holiday, as a time of celebration. But I want to talk about the celebration and talking about resurrection. I'll be honest with you, I kind of grew up in a time where often in the church we didn't talk about resurrection on Sunday, because it wasn't in the Scripture. So on Easter Sunday, we didn't talk about it. It was kind of like you could talk about it 51 Sundays a year, but it really wasn't not talk about it on Easter. But we're going to talk about it today because a large part of our culture is celebrating Easter, which is about the resurrection of Jesus. Some of us got a holiday on Friday for Good Friday, and we had a storm on Good Friday, and that's not the first one of those we've had of recent times. So Good Friday has kind of become one of those days. But what is it about Good Friday? Why would we take a day off? What does that mean to us? Just to set the stage. Because it was on Friday that Jesus dies on the cross as a payment for the sins of man. He becomes the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. It is on that cross that He sheds His blood, that He gives His life, that you and I might be redeemed, that you and I might be forgiven, that you and I might have the hope and promise of resurrection and life eternal. So on Friday, Jesus dies on a cross. And it's interesting, as on Friday evening the skies turn dark here, that Jesus hangs on the cross, and in the middle of the day in Jerusalem, it turns dark, because the Son of God has died. But on that Sunday morning, after the Sabbath, when the ladies who had followed Jesus and the apostles go to the tomb, because they had not had an opportunity really to properly prepare His body for burial because it was becoming sundown, and so they go back to the tomb and they find that the tomb is empty. Not because Jesus' body had been stolen, not because it had been moved, but because Jesus had been raised from the dead. The power of Satan, death, the consequences of sin had been overcome. Christ was raised. He had left the tomb. And the scripture will tell us, and leaving the tomb, he appeared to 500 at one time. He appeared to some of the apostles at once, and then he appeared to James, and then he appeared to all the apostles. And so witnesses saw the resurrected Jesus, God's Son who had come in the flesh, who had overcome death, and had been raised to live again, never again to suffer the consequences of death. And so that's what we're celebrating today, is the resurrection of Jesus, as the Apostle Paul would write, the first fruits of all of us who will be raised. The promise of resurrection for all of us. It's so important that the Apostle Paul would say, if Christ is not raised from the dead, because there was some controversy about Christ being raised. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then there is no resurrection of the dead. And our faith is useless. That the testimony of the apostles about God is false. That we have no hope. And in fact, as Christians, as those believing in Jesus, we're above all men to be pitied, because if our hope is only that Jesus has shown us a wiser, better way to live, we have really been left wanting. In fact, the Apostle Paul would say, if that is true, if Jesus was not raised, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then we should just eat and drink, for tomorrow we may die. He said, live it up if there's nothing else. But Paul says, but Christ was raised. Christ was raised from the dead. And so everything is different because Jesus lives. As we read through the scripture, we find that often in God's dealing with his people, he has them to set up a feast or a memorial or a monument to remember what God had done. To take stones from the Jordan to remember the parting of the river as they go into the land of promise. To keep scripture close to them. To have a celebration of Passover to remember God's deliverance from Egypt. And so as we celebrate Easter today, it's a time for us to remember what God has done. It is time for us to remember first God's creative power. God's creative power. Before we get to resurrection, let's talk about God's creative power, because it is extremely important for us to remember. It is how God begins to reveal himself in the scripture. As he begins to show himself to us, what does God tell us first and foremost about himself? That he is the creator. John begins his gospel with the fact that Jesus was with God and that he is the creator. John would say, not anything was made that Christ wasn't a part of. The Apostle Paul will make the argument to the theologians of the time that the true and living God is the God who is the creator. So God, from nothing, spoke into existence everything that exists. God is eternal with no beginning or end, and spoke into existence everything that we know. And when God created it, and this is so important, he said, this is good. And at the conclusion of the creative process, God says, this is very good. What God had made was very good. Then something changes drastically and dramatically. And that is that sin entered the world. And so the world changes. That which God had made perfect, that which God had made very good, now becomes blighted. Now becomes accursed. Because Adam and Eve, instead of being obedient to God, listened to Satan and to his deception, to his lie, and ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And upon eating, sin came into the world and its consequence then and now is death. Then and now is death. And not only physical death, but the separation of man created in the very image of God from the Creator Himself. Sin separates us. And not only do we live in the anticipation of death, but we live in a world that no longer is very good, but a world where there is struggle. All kinds of struggle. Struggle just to provide for ourselves. And that's what God says to Adam and Eve. He says to Adam, now the ground that was producing food for you in the garden that I had is cursed. And by the sweat of your brow, you will feed yourself. Our relationships have struggles, have problems. The relationship between men and women, between husbands and wives, between each other. Because there is sin in the world, we struggle with those. God created man to live in the garden, and in the center of the garden was the tree of life. Adam and Eve were created to be immortal, eternal. Death was not going to bother them, nor destruction or decay. But sin entered the world, and so not only is death the ultimate physical outcome for mankind, but we're constantly facing struggle and sickness and decay. The world that God had created very good is now very different. And that's the world that you and I find ourselves living in. So as we celebrate resurrection and anticipate resurrection, I want to talk about God's creative power and now God's power who helps us to deal in the world as it now exists, which is very different. But God has said, I will not leave you alone. Right? That God walks with us and blesses us. But the apostle taught us that that's not the greatest blessing we have, but that God does care for us. For those of us who are going through the daily Bible readings, we've just been talking about and reading about David, about King David. And we've been reading from the Psalms, where David, as he struggles with Saul, as he struggles with his enemies, continually writes about God being his refuge, about God being his source of help, God being his shepherd, God delivering him and God protecting him. And so as we think about resurrection and the showing of God's power, we know God blesses us and cares for us. Even though we live in a world that is destructive and decaying. And that's what the Scripture will tell us. But we witness it, don't we? Every day. In a few moments, we'll go through our prayer list. It's pretty lengthy. But I tell you what I've learned over the last few years. It's always pretty lengthy. Not making light of that, just in the world we live is, there are always those things of which we are facing that are struggles. For which we pray for one another, for God to help us deal with those struggles and to bring about some relief from the world as it exists today. For God to bring about some peace, some healing, some restoration in a world that's decaying. And it's not only for those of us who are getting older and the aches and pains and struggles that come with that, but the Hooper family has a young grandchild that has had surgery about a problem found prenatal. That this perfect world that God created no longer is, and it's not only for those who are older, but even those who are younger. But we're able to be prayerful and know that God delivers. And as we read through the Scripture, what do we remember? God's deliverance of his people. God heard their cries in slavery and bondage in Egypt. And what does he do? He sends a deliverer, Moses. And he sends Moses with great power to deliver them from the slavery of Egypt. Now, we live really in a situation not unlike as mankind, the slavery, the bondage of Egypt. That sin had control over us and we were in bondage. And Moses comes to deliver Egypt, and what do we see? The tremendous power of God. In the plagues that come upon the Egyptians, we see great power. And so Egypt is delivered, or Israel is delivered from Egypt. And we see then when, as they are leaving between the proverbial rock and the hard place, between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army, and what does God do? He delivers them. Remember, he separates Israel from the Egyptians that are following them and parts the waters of the Red Sea, and Israel crosses on dry land, and then the Egyptians are able to follow them, and as the Egyptian army comes into the sea closes and the army of Egypt is destroyed and Israel is delivered. What I hope as we celebrate Easter today, that we don't do like Egypt and have extremely short memories about the power of God. Because Israel then immediately begins to complain as they wander in the wilderness about the struggles that they have, having witnessed God's great power. And if we could draw a parallel as God's people, I would say that we are, the parallel would be, we're really in the wandering of the wilderness at this point in our lives as we live as followers of Jesus. That we have been delivered from Egypt and that Jesus has come and died on the cross and paid the price. So that we see that freedom from slavery to sin is possible. That we have been delivered from that, that Christ paid the price for us. And we are heading to the land of promise that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. But we're still living in a place and a time where there is difficulty, just as Israel did. They found difficulty with food and difficulty with water and all kinds of struggles. And you and I face those. But we need to remember the tremendous power of God. That just as God cared for them, God cares for us. And even though they faced difficulties, God delivered them through it, didn't he? God cared for them, and God cares for us, even as we face the difficulties of the desert. We don't face them alone because God is with us. And God is delivering us and carrying us to a land of promise. Israel comes to the land of Canaan, the land that had been promised all the way back to Abraham. And when they get there and they send 12 spies to spy out the land, men who had seen the delivering power of God from Egypt, who had seen the plagues, who had seen the waters part, who had seen God deliver them with all of the things that they needed, spy out the land. And what do they say? Ten of the twelve say, we can't take the land. We can't go. They are fortified. They are giants. The land itself will swallow us up. We're like grasshoppers compared to them. Joshua and Caleb, two of the spies, said we can take it. And what was their reasoning? Not because of their numbers, not because of their military ability, because Joshua and Caleb had seen and recognized the power of God and that God would fulfill his promise. But the other 10 persuaded the crowds, and so they don't follow God into the land of promise and are forced to wander in the wilderness because they had forgotten the greatness of the power of God. They had looked away. They had looked at the obstacles and not at God. When we think about resurrection, we are reminded of the power of God over death itself, over the greatest enemy. The greatest fear is death. How many times have you maybe faced challenges in life and consoled yourself with, well, it might be tough, but it won't kill me? Have you ever kind of been afraid of something and you said, well, at least it's not going to kill me. I can get through it. Now, why is that? Because the greatest fear is death. And Jesus overcame the power of Satan, the power of death, that we realize that as children of God and heirs of eternal life, that death no longer holds power over us. Now, while we might temporarily have to deal with it, it's only temporary. That just as God raised Christ, He'll raise us. Just as God delivered Israel from Egypt, He would have led them into the promised land 40 years before He did if they'd only followed Him. And as we walk through the wilderness today, through the desert, realize that God will deliver us today just as He delivered Israel. That we'll be able to face the struggles that come our way because God is with us. Will everything be easy for God's people? No. No. Will we have to face struggles? Yes. But with the power of God, will He deliver us and bless us and protect us? The answer to that is yes. And we've seen God do it for His people throughout the history of God and man. And the resurrection is further evidence of the tremendous power of God. The power to create that which is perfect, and the power to overcome death itself. The last enemy is death, and Jesus will overcome it. If God has overcome death, what obstacle, what barrier is there that you and I face that God can't overcome, that God can't deal with? There isn't one. You and I can celebrate today, even though we know we live in a world not that God intended, but that God still has power. And that God cares for each one of us. So we can face those challenges knowing we're not facing them alone. Knowing it's not dependent on our wisdom and knowledge. But that God will deliver us. And resurrection is evidence of God's restorative power. We know God was able to create that which was perfect. We know that God is able to deliver His people, that God walks with us, that God blesses us, that God carries us through the storms of life. That just as Jesus said, "Peace be still on the Sea of Galilee," God has the ability to calm the storms of life. But resurrection is further evidence of God's restorative power. What does that mean? God created a world that was perfect, that was very good for us to live in, for man who was created in His image. And sin destroyed that world. But John, in the Revelation, what does John get to see and tell us about? The time when things are restored, when things are renewed. John says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I saw the new Jerusalem coming out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband." He talks about that we will be in the very presence of God, that there will be no need for the sun because God will be our light, that sorrow and death will have passed away, the former things will have passed, and that God Himself will wipe the very tears from our eyes. That Jesus has gone to get a place prepared for us where everything will be very good again. Where things will be perfect again. where man created in the image of God will be with the Creator, and everything will be made new and right. And the reason we know that that is true is because God overcame death at the resurrection. That Jesus gave His life as a payment for sin on the cross, that we might be forgiven and redeemed. But on that Sunday morning, Jesus was raised from the dead to overcome the power of Satan, the power of death and destruction. And as surely as Christ was raised, there will be a resurrection for all of us who were children of God. And when Jesus returns, as Trey read for us, and gives the kingdom over to God, gives the kingdom back to God, death will forever be destroyed. Death will forever be destroyed, and the curse will be lifted. The curse of death, the curse that the earth is currently under, all of that will be lifted. The Scripture says that the creation yearns, longs to be clothed in that which is permanent, not that which is now temporary and decaying and under a curse. And when Jesus, who was raised from the dead, returns, all things will be made new. God was the perfect and is the perfect creator. He is the perfect Redeemer, who cares for us and protects us and delivers us. And He is the perfect restorer, to restore a perfect relationship between Himself and man, and to create the perfect situation where we will live for all eternity. If Christ hadn't been raised from the dead, then it's just fantasy. It's just fairy tale. But because those angels said, "Why seek the living with the dead?" Jesus is raised as a fulfillment of the power of God and as earnest money for the promises of God, for deliverance and a future that God has prepared for us. You and I are sinners and have fallen short of God's glory. Because of sin, we live in a world that is imperfect and our lives are imperfect, and all of us stand guilty before the judgment of God. But Jesus said, "I'll take their place." And so He gave His life on a cross. He who was without sin became sin. He paid the price that those who believe on Him, who will change their ways, will say, "I'm not living according to the world. I'm not going to follow Satan's lies like Adam and Eve did. I realize that what Satan promises is never fulfilled. That Satan has nothing that's going to last, nothing that's going to bring happiness, nothing that's going to bring peace, nothing that's going to bring restoration, but God does, and I'm going to walk in His ways. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to make Jesus Lord of my life. I'm going to stand up for all the world to know that I believe that Jesus, the man of Bethlehem and of the Galilee, is and was the only Son of God, and that He is Lord. I'm going to be cleansed of my sin in His blood through the waters of baptism. And I'm going to look forward to the Redeemer who walks with me every day and who has prepared a home. And so I look forward. I anticipate the resurrection of the dead, when all of us, like Christ, will be raised to live in that restored, perfect home that God has prepared. If you need to respond in a public way, would you do that while we stand and sing?